Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right, Farrell on the bench with you. Carver High joining me on a midweeker. And I was watching the draft, the Major League draft. I had it on for about, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes. I have to compare it to what I have to do tomorrow, which I think I'm going to choose what I have to do tomorrow as the victor here in the, you know, voting system. And I'm going to go through Carver High as a precursor to the overall fan vote in the Farrella chat, Farrella pub on our YouTube Sports Grid page where everyone hangs out. I don't even know anything about it. I just know it's high end real estate in there. Right. So here's the question, Carver High. Do you prefer watching the draft, the Major League draft, and Rob Manfred doling out all the first round and competitive balance selections in the Major League 2020 draft? And I'm going to leave you on this. You can think about this when we break. It's important that we go to break. Tomorrow is my annual visit to Dr. Garden. Do you remember Dr. Garden?
I do remember Dr. Garden, yes.
Tomorrow is time to get my garden picked. Got to go out and get all the cabbage and corn and onions and red peppers out of the garden because he's going into my garage door. And believe me, it's time to bring out the combine. Dr. Garden always has a nice way of seeing how things are going in my... He'll make a man out of... you. So how do you think the Pirates did in the draft? I am going to tell you, nothing tops it. It's the annual prostate exam tomorrow with the illustrious Dr. Garden.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. Carver High is with me. So I'm going to go see illustrious Dr. Garden tomorrow. He's a funny guy. You got to be funny to go into my garage door and pull out my snowblower. I mean, to tell you, this guy means business. He's always talking to me about his teams, too. He loves the show. He's like, he's a fan of the show. He's known me forever. He's, you know, listened to the show. He could be listening right now. You know, he knows full on that tomorrow Pharrell is coming in for his annual look into my. I mean to tell you, your boy just absolutely takes control of. He's like, yeah, I got something for you. He does the savoir faire is everywhere. He does the spinorama on your prostate. And, you know, they talk about, remember who was it? Guy Lafleur was the flower. Was that right? Carver High?
That is correct. Was. Well, the flower, so, Marc-Andre Fleury.
Well, you got that one. Guy Lafleur. Or Marc-Andre Fleury. And then there's Pharrell's flower. Dr. Garden likes to pick flowers. I mean, to tell you, he goes in and gives you a spin. He takes you for a spin. In that Dodge Charger, he gives you a little, hey, Pharrell, you excited about the Penguins and the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs with 24 teams in the second season? Hey, Pharrell, what do you think? The Steelers are going to have a nice training camp at Heinz Field. Hey, Pharrell, how's Carver High's Buffalo Bills going to be this year? Hey, Pharrell, is the Mafia and my Jets going to do anything better than last year? And then you got to do your PSA, Carver High, which is your blood work, right? You go in, you bend over, get spanked and called Charlie. You get debriefed. We just want to ask you a few questions.
Yeah, it's time for me with all that, right? 40 now, 40 coming up. It's time.
Oh, I'm going to break you in, son. You got to go see Dr. Garden. And here's the deal. I've always said to everybody, it's no laughing matter. Definitely 40, without a shred of doubt, 45 on. Anything over 50, if you haven't done that yet, done a prostate exam or a PSA, you're basically an idiot. So in not so many words, you're stupid because it's a silent killer. It's no joke. And you know, I've had your boy B. Cuss, Brian Custer of Showtime and Fox and CBS. You've seen him do a lot of sporting events, play-by-play, host Showtime Boxing, everything else. He got it, right? And he was, I don't even remember how old he was, what he told me, 41 or something like that when he got it. And he got prostate cancer. And,
yeah, early 40s. Early 40s. Right? I think 40, 41.
Yeah, and then he not only did he get it, but he had the surgery and was in remission and like went through all the chemo and everything else. And then it came back, right? So he had to go through it twice at his age. So he's been through like prostate cancer twice at like 40, 41, 43, something like that. Now he's doing great. And, you know, God bless him. I love B Cust, a good friend of ours. And he, you know, really kind of opened my eyes to it. So did Earl the Pearl Monroe, who used to come and do the show when I was at Howard Stern, and he'd come in, and Earl was always selling the PSA and the prostate exam for men. And, you know, certainly in the black community, guys just don't go to the doctor, and they don't, you know, they just don't like doctors. They don't like going. They don't like getting probed, and they don't like getting prostate exams, and they don't like doing fluoroscopies and everything else. If you've ever listened to my podcast, I've had all of my, you know, derriere doctors on the show, and they've all been very entertaining. I always get a kick out of all the derriere surgeries that I've had. I've had 8 of them. I know people right now on the network are going, wait, how is that possible? How could somebody have 8 operations on their tush? And I, so what happened was, is that, to make a long story longer, I had fissures, fistulas, look it up. It's not fun. It's genetics. I got it. Thanks, Grandpa. Thanks, Dad. And then I got it right. My son's doomed. So I have like the same, let's just say River Kwai as them, right? I had the River Kwai going, but mine broke. Mine was everyone's supposed to have the River Kwai, but I had the Little Colorado and the Colorado. I had both rivers. Mine split down the middle and branched off into 2 rivers, and then I had nothing but problems. And so one thing led to another. The first time I went in there to get it fixed, then it came back. Then it was number 2, and then it came back, and I was at number 3, and I finally fired that doctor. I'm like, listen, bro, you haven't fixed my problem. You got to go. Thanks, though, for everything. It's been great getting to know you. And then the 4th one, you know, I've had, you know, Dr. Greg Galina, you know him. He's been on my show. He's funny. He fixed my problem. He rebuilt my garage and fixed all my problems and took care of it. And then I never, knock on wood, had a problem since. The other ones were all just, you know, you name it. I've had multiple fluoroscopies. You name the date, I've got one for you up the sleeve. I've had them all. So I've had it like 8 times. I've had 8 of them. It's crazy. And then the best part of the story was always when 34C had to go in there with a like a 12-inch rod, like a Q-tip, and like suave it up with the Rico Suave. She had to go in there with the Rico Suave love push and clean that puppy out at night. And I used to give her the backward look like a dog. I'd look behind me, and she'd be back there. I'd be like, how do you like me now? This will really show you if you love me. This will bring out all your true colors. I just always think it's funny. And then I did a podcast with my derriere doctor in my garage, which was even better. It was raining outside, right? And so it was raining, and it was during the Hanta. It was at the beginning of the Hanta virus, and I couldn't have him in my house, right? No one was having people in their homes, and everybody was outside 6 feet apart, all this other stuff. So I'm doing the interview with him. It was like 40 degrees. It's raining. We're breathing smoke, and we're talking about my ass. And I finally did the whole interview in my garage. Like, and how funny is that? I was sitting right next to the snowblower, the generator, and all the things that I make fun of when I talk about my derriere. And he sat in there and talked for like 2 hours. It was a 2-part series on my on my ass. And it was really funny. And then I had another doctor in that had Dr. Stavros came in, and he talked about like I've had like 6 hernia surgeries from, you name it, playing basketball. I've ripped every core muscle. I've tore them all. I've had like 6 of them. And this guy came in and told me the story of yanking beer bottles out of people. and sex toys out of people that like make mistakes. They're in there like having a nice Saturday, everything's going fine. Next thing they know, they have a little problem, and it, you know, one thing leads to another. Next thing you know, they got an object 5 feet inside their body, and your boy has to go in there and dig it out. Like he's like he's running a crane down at the construction site. He's digging out toys. I love when a guy tells me stories of the things people get trapped in their derrieres. I love those shows. They're the greatest shows ever. I'll be getting a call in the morning. We're not going to be doing derriere shows on this network, mister. Had enough of your stories about your snowblower and your shed and your garage. And
have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
So, for all events, Carver Hyde just notified me that all the people that are listening or that are on hold that want to talk to me can hear everything that I'm saying.
You got to remember. I mean, if you want to get during the commercial breaks, I know that you want to get a little bit more in depth when it comes to your doctor and the garden area and everything that you want to do. And I'm just letting you know that. All of the people on hold, they get to hear all about it too. So I was just giving you that kind of heads up.
That's great, because the graphic nature of the conversation that I just had with you in the break on, because I told you the story of Dr. Stavros, what he took out of a couple different patients. I mean, this stuff's gold, right? Like, I just find it awesome. Like, I got some guy telling me a story about yanking toys out of people's bodies and then a beer bottle out of some guy. I mean, I just gotta have more of that. I can't, like, when this guy's telling me these stories, I just can't get enough of it. I'm cracking up. I'm laughing. I just think it's so funny. And I gotta tell you, nothing is funny when you're having these surgeries or the after effects of it and the aftermath and the healing. I remember, I always tell this story. So when I had like the first one, right, it was so bad, right? I was at a party. And it was in my backyard. It was like a party that I was having. I used to have this great, like, Animal Kingdom backyard. Carver High knows. I had a pool. I had it all fenced in. I had, like, an acre. And I mean to tell you, I used to have parties out there like no other. I mean, I was the king. I had it all going. Barbecue, pool, music, dancing, strippers, you name it, reefer, the whole thing was happening. Everything was happening. Gambling, you name it. People making out, people literally having relations, right? And so one day I'm at this party, and this is back in the day, and I was like drinking and partying, and I was a lot younger, right? And so now I'm like old, washed up dad, and all I do is play basketball, and I'm relatively sane and healthy and boring. But I used to be wild and crazy and a lunatic. And I'd have these parties. And so at this party one day, I like go inside. I got to go drop a yam. I'm in there. And the next thing you know, I'm gushing blood. And I'm like, the first thing I did was I ran out to the backyard and I got 34C and I said, I'm dying. I'm bleeding to death. I'm bleeding. I'm gushing blood. I'm like a fire hydrant. I'm bleeding so bad. What is going on? I'm going to the hospital. I'm dying right now. I have tush cancer and I'm just doomed. It's over. My life's over. So I go to the doctor, I go to the hospital, and, you know, one thing leads to another. To make a long story longer, the guy comes in, he's like, we got to operate right now. I'm like, holy, you got to be kidding me, dude. What are you talking about? You're going to go into my garage door and this is happening now? He's like, yeah. So it was some old man, right? And he was like, he was at least 70 something. And I'm getting a little sketchy on him. I'm like, listen, pops, you got to be careful back there. And next thing you know, I wake up and I come out of it and I'm in the recovery and everything. And then I'm in there for like 3 days or something. And then they finally let me go home. And when I go home, like, I literally can't use my tush at all. Right. I'm sitting there and the guy's like, you're just going to have to really grin and bear it. That's what he said to me. And I'm like, grin and bear it. I go, what are you, RJ Barrett? Grin and bear it. So the next thing you know, I'm like, I got to find out the hard way on my own. Right. And I'm in this position. I finally, after like 4 days, had to go. And I'm like, no way can I go to the bathroom. I've got this giant surgery back there. I can't do anything there. There's no way I'm going to the bathroom. I'll do anything to hold this thing in. Right. I wanted no part of it. In fact, constipation was my best friend at that point. And I was like, I just didn't want to go, right? But I had to. And I was going to lose the battle with nature. And so I was literally on the toilet and it hurt so bad, like screaming pain bad. It was like, I was on the header and I was like, ah! And then like 34 C's out there screaming, what? What? What's happening? What's happening in there? Are you all right? Are you all right? I was like, ah! My ass. And then I held myself up like a pommel horse, you know, the gymnasts use, the thing where they get on the horse and the guy grabs the handles and he does the spinning with his hands on the pommel horse, and the guy's like jimmying around 100 miles an hour, and he's lifting his legs over the horse, and people are like, he's got great form. Meanwhile, that's what I had to do on the toilet. I had to hold myself up because I couldn't like put pressure on my tush on the toilet seat. I had to like hold myself up in the air to do it. And I was like held up in the air like a pommel horse, like a gymnast. And I'm screaming and writhing in pain. It was like having literally a Ford Eldorado come out of my cave. It was like having a car come out of me. That's how bad it hurt. And when it was over, I was bleeding and everything else. And I'm like, he didn't do it right. I'm bleeding again. I'm going to die. Oh, God, Father, help me, Lord, please. Holy God, Mother, give me some Vicodin. And then, that'll make a man out of you. That stuff will make a man out of you. So, you know, you can do whatever you want, but I highly recommend going to get your PSA, your prostate exam, once a year after 40. Was that like a crash landing there, Carver High, at the end of the story?
I think that you definitely swung it all the way around, and you came back to the beginning, and you buttoned it up nicely. You definitely put the button on it.
Right? In terms of, you know, on the pommel horse, I had to land with a look. You got to do the landing and get like a 9.5 or a 10. Do you think I stuck a nice landing?
You stuck the landing. You stuck it. You're good now.
All right. Can we go to? Do we have a bunch of callers? Is that what you're telling me? John, is John first in Buffalo? All right, go ahead, John.
You have more ass surgeries than I've had days on this planet, man. It's unbelievable.
It's true, but I have to say that Double G got me through it. Dr. Galena, he got me through it, and I also had another one, Agopian. He did a decent job too. And then I've had multiple hernia surgeries, and I've had multiple broken bones, rotator, labrum, broken hand, broken kneecap, broken both feet. I've had bone spurs. I've had every surgery known to man. So, I get to know these, you know, bottom line is I've slept with a lot of nurses. That's really what it boils down to. And, you know, I have hit on 80-year-old nurses when I'm high on morphine. I've been known to ask 80-year-old nurses to sleep with me, and it doesn't typically go well. They've slapped me a few times because when I get enough morphine in me, I can be rather perverted. Can you say that on the radio? Anyway, John, what's up?
Yeah. So I was thinking about it. There was no pro hoops team in Buffalo, and I'm a big Sixers fan. We were absolutely like killing it at home, but we were just like terrible on the road. I think like 10-24. It was like enough to blow your brains out watching that team on the road. So my question is, everybody playing in the same place in Orlando at Disney World with Mickey Mouse, does that like make it neutral for every team, like including ours that like relies on home fans more than other teams?
Look, I think that I have no idea what that means, because like at about the 40% mark of your question, I started thinking of JoJo Embiid, and I wondered how much dope can that guy smoke when there's no dope testing? You know what I mean? Like he comes across to me as a guy that likes, that's just my guess. I could be wrong. He could be like a Bible toter for all I know. But he comes across as a guy that might like laying around and eating 3 or 4 bags of Doritos and smoking about like 5 or 6 blunts after the game. So I have my reservations whether or not he can get off the couch enough to win a big game when it matters. For me, you know, I think he's a really dominant player, and I think that he's never, frankly, been really mature enough to handle big pressure playoff games and, you know, title type, you know, aspirations. Fair enough. Like, I just have never thought that he was in control enough of his emotions, his game, his mentality, his physicality, his all around package. I never thought was in the right mode, the right modem to get it done. I doubt the Sixers. I think he's a great player that's never been able to get it done. He spends too much time talking about how great he is, right? He's always telling everybody how he's better than everybody else and no one can stop me and all this other nonsense. Meanwhile, everybody else is winning titles. You know what I mean? So you can go around telling everybody how great you are while everybody else has got the hardware. So in this business, it's about winning, and they don't get it done. And I think the chips will fall this way. They'll lose again, and then they'll fire Brown, and that'll be that. Good hearing from you, John. Where are we going next, Carver High? Larry in Indiana, that sweet Hoosier stage. I got to.
Hey, Mr. Farrell, how are you tonight?
Hey, Larry. You know, I went to Indiana, right? Like, I'm a Hoosier.
Yeah, I know. I'm calling you from Bloomington, Indiana.
Sweet.
I'm a Hoosier, too.
That's great. I love it there. It's a fantastic place. I caused a lot of trouble there, and I drank a lot, and I was a Phi-Psi, and you can blame them for how bad of an outcome it's turned into with my behavior publicly and internationally.
Yeah, well, I was in a fraternity, too, but I'm a little bit older. But I just wanted to say that everybody needs to take your medical advice, because you're spot on. I'm a cancer survivor and everything.
Well, that's great. I know that you're right. I'm right. It is the deal. It is what you got to do. It's very important, I think, to, get a prostate exam, a PSA. I also think it's important, you know, because I had high maintenance on mine. I had to get a colonoscopy every couple of years. Most people, it's like every 3 or 4 or 5 years max. So I think it's really important for men to do it. And don't be a wuss. Just go get it done. I love you, Larry. Good to hear from you. Clarence is our boy in Dallas coming up next. All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. Don't forget 844-843-6879 to get on the bench. Our buddy Clarence Hill with the Fort Worth Star Telegram joins us on the show. I hope you're doing well, Clarence. How's everything, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you doing, man? Appreciate you having me on.
My man, it's great to hear your voice. It's been a minute or two. I hope you've been okay, your family, everybody else, through all of this COVID craziness, through all of our unrest in the world that's changed the world a little bit, hopefully for the better, I'm hoping. I hope you're all good all around you, all the people you love.
Yeah, man, we're good, man. It's a lot, man. You know, it's been a lot, and you know, as a African-American black man reporter in this world, you know, you deal with a lot and you take on a lot. But I mean, this is the country love and the job I chose. And so I'm ready to meet things head on and embrace it. And I appreciate all the the care and concern and empathy for people that are finally waking up and understanding what it's like to be a black man in America.
I hope so. We've had some of my friends in pro sports, black guys, have come on the show left and right and talked about what they've dealt with, the issues at hand, how to make it better, how to change, how to wake people up, how to open their eyes, how to get them to actually be involved, take action instead of just watching the news and doing nothing like they've always done. It has to be a gigantic, swift effort. Now, I have to say, your article about Jerry Jones, can I ask you about that? Because I want...
Of course.
Tell me what you thought as... You know, you cover them and everything. And so, like, we had kind of the same situation here, Clarence, where we were up in New York and we've had it really bad here. And so when the COVID happened, the city, New York, it was the worst of anywhere in the world. So all of a sudden, then the protests start. Everything happened with George Floyd. And then Dolan never did anything. Like, people were sitting here in New York saying, what is with this guy that owns the Knicks with all of his billions? How come they haven't made a statement? How come they haven't said anything? How come they haven't supported this cause or had an opinion about it of any kind of any nature? And then I saw the same thing was kind of, in essence, running in concert with that type of behavior in Dallas with Jerry Jones. Am I wrong? And did you think at any point, like, what's this guy doing besides nothing?
Yes. And I would say this, and I was tough on Jerry and I held his foot to the fire, and it should be. The difference between Dolan and Jerry is Jerry's always supported his players. Okay. Jerry has made his players millionaires and billionaires, and he's introduced four of them to the Hall of Fame, and you know, he gives them a second chance. And many of his black players, and a lot of them swear by him and consider him like a second father. And they will tell you what Jerry has done for their lives. You don't have the thing that with Dolan you have with Charles Oakley and some people that don't like Dolan and how he treats people. Jerry has treated his people well, but Jerry has always tried to walk this line, this fine line between supporting his players and being beholden to his sponsors and his money. And that's where, you know, you can't walk that line anymore. You have to choose a side right now. And right now he's being quiet on this anthem issue and this race issue and not denouncing race and basically the anthem thing, because he basically has prohibited his players from protesting during the anthem. You know, the knee was too much for Jerry. That's disrespect for the flag. Well, we can draw a straight line from Colin Kaepernick's knee to the knee of Derek Chauvin on the back of George Floyd's neck that killed him. You can't handle Colin Kaepernick's knee. You can't handle the knee of players on the field, and it begat the knee of Derek Chauvin on the back of George Floyd's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds that killed him. You know, that's the problem. You know, we're so caught up with appearances and you know, this doesn't look right. This is not patriotic. You know, this is what Colin Kaepernick was fighting. This is what he was protesting. And it was a solid, peaceful protest that really he did not even bring attention to it. If you remember the first time Colin Kaepernick sat down and started protesting, no one knew about it. It was only the second game that someone, a reporter from the NFL Network, asked him about it, that he told him what it was about. So it wasn't like Colin Kaepernick was saying, look at me, look what I'm doing. You know, but we've, you know, co-opted a narrative and made it something else, made it about something else, made it about the flag, which it wasn't.
Right.
But even if it was, the bottom line is that people fight for our country for the freedom to protest. It is a right in the Constitution. That is what one of the things that our soldiers fight for, is for our freedom to protest. So the idea is disrespectful to the flag that you're denying a person the ability and the freedom to protest at any time, especially a peaceful protest. So this is where we are. Jerry's been silent on this issue. And again, the fact that Jerry's rarely silent on anything, and the fact that Jerry himself is the one who was at the forefront of trying to ban players from protesting during the anthem because he thought it was disrespectful. He can't be silent any longer. It's no longer proper to be silent. Silent is violence, okay? Silent is what people being silent on this issue, trying to ignore this issue because it didn't affect them, is what got George Floyd killed. That is not okay anymore. And the players are going to protest. They're going to protest like nobody's business in the fall. And the owners will have to stand up and support the players, because we also know that President Trump is going to come at them again.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And everything he said is on point. And let me ask you this question, Clarence. So when you saw, let's say, you know, take a window of the 4 years or whatever it's been since Colin did what he did. How amazed are you, because I am, at how stupid people are? Because I have never seen anything in my life twisted and turned into so many different opinions or politicized politics. It became about flags and defending our country and all this other nonsense, when from the jump, Colin Kaepernick was about brutality with the police. That's what it was about. But yeah, it turned into something. It turned into something absolutely senile, like ridiculous. It became about politics. It became about flags. It became about protests. It became about kneeling. It became about Trump. It became about everything wrong with America, when it was a real simple, peaceful protest about police brutality. And then fast forward 4 years, nothing's changed. It's worse, and there's still cops killing black men. How much does that amaze you at how stupid people are?
Nothing amazes me about the stupidity of people. You know, common sense ain't common, and you would think this is common. You know, you think this is common sense. You know, but let's be honest. The NFL reporters, media, they all fell into the narrative and pushed the same narrative. You know, Colin can't play anymore. It's all about this. Colin's grandstanding. How many NFL reporters repeated that same trope? You know, and you know, all of this stuff and making about Colin and what he did and not what was going on, not facing the fact that what was going on with all of these black people getting killed by policemen. And there without justice, and that's the thing. People want justice. When people, you know, it's so crazy to me that people get caught up into, you know, Black Lives Matter, not understanding and what the, you know, coming with that White Lives Matter trope. It's never been about only Black Lives Matter, but Black lives are the ones that's mattering right now, because Black lives are the ones that's in danger. They're the ones getting killed. That's the one that we need to pay attention to. That's the one that's getting marginalized. It's like Colin Kaepernick, and his career was taken away from him trying to bring attention to something that's so near and dear to so many people in the locker room. You know, it's one thing to and that's the thing about coaches and owners and they sell this team crap, and it's crap to a certain extent, because, you know, do it for the team and let's represent the team, but when is the team going to represent me? And too often, and certainly now, the team is largely African American, you know. But right. The team doesn't care about issues that are facing the African American community, and they expect these players to come from different situations, marginalized situations, many of them from and who have issues from birth to college to the pros, and trying to make a better way for life, and they're supposed to leave that at the locker room door. They're supposed to leave that, you know, when they get on the field. And they're not supposed to feel that. You're supposed to leave out alone and just worry about team. You know, like I can't, like they haven't for years been dealing with their stuff and putting out their best effort on the field and doing what's right for the team. You know, when is the team going to start caring about these human beings, these players that make money for these millionaires? That's what it's about.
Yeah, there's no doubt, Clarence. I believe and always have. I've said this 5 million times on the show over the years. They, the white billionaire, stuck up, filthy rich owners collude against Colin Kaepernick as sure as I'm sitting here. And to this day, it's absolute. It's like they're getting electrocuted if they even mention his name. If they even broach the subject, they get tasered. I mean, it is unbelievable to me that they will not ever, and never have, and never will. They will never admit that they did that to him. And it's so obvious. It's like staring you right in the face. Let me ask you this question. Lastly, respectfully, I have 2 minutes, Clarence. I got to follow this clock like they're all over me. Respectfully,
look,
do
I
you believe?
Radio. I understand. I understand.
I know, bro. You know me. I'm cool. When they've marched every day, all the protesters have marched and marched and marched and fought and fought and battled and done their thing in cities all over the country. Gigantic protests, peaceful and otherwise. Do you believe that it's all going to change, make change, that it was worth it, that it's working, and that it's being done the right way?
You know, you have to follow the protests with action. And all these speeches and everybody's saying the right thing and you know, these statements that are being made, but you have to follow with action, and we'll see. You know, it starts with the ballot box in November, but it has to be followed up with action. But the beautiful thing about these protests, you know, unlike the protests before in the 60s or even the protests, you know, after Rodney King and the protests, you know, after Trayvon Martin and a protest in Ferguson, Missouri, it's not just black people. It's black people. It's white people. It's brown people. Right. It's Asian people. There, everybody is joining the protest, and that's what's so great. It's one of the greatest racial reconciliations uprest of all our lifetime, because everybody is part of it. So I think that's the key, and that's what we need to look at and say, this is a step in the right direction. You look what NASCAR did today. That's amazing. You know, yeah. NASCAR saying no more Confederate flags. That's that. You know, it's a shame that it took to 2020, but for their NASCAR to do that, that's amazing. That's a huge step in the right direction.
Yeah, I think so, Clarence, for sure. I think they're going to have problems executing that because I think there's a lot of drunk, loser slobs with guns and that have attitude problems that will fight anyone that tries to take their Confederate flag because they're morons. So I'm sure they're going to have some problems outside those racetracks and in those infields with idiots. But I think they can be dealt with and get rid of all that nonsense. And I hope the world changes for a better place. Chill Hill, you know I love you, Clarence. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight. We'll be in touch during the Cowboys season. I love you, man, and stay strong, brother.
Appreciate you, man.
All right, Clarence Hill with the Fort Worth Star Telegram. He's a badass, good friend of the show for years. We've had him on Carver High. I don't think he likes Jerry Jones to begin with. I don't think Carver High likes any team at all, unless it's the Bills, right? I mean, it's just the Bills are nothing with him. He's like, screw them, they cheat. All right, for all events, I will say Bubba Wallace's car was really cool in the Martinsville race tonight. And he had the Black Lives Matter car rocking. And he was in second place at one point. He was doing great in that 43. I don't know what happened. All I know is, I'm not Mr. NASCAR or anything like that. I've told you the truth. I'm friends with Austin Dillon. I know a couple of these guys. But I'm all for Bubba Wallace. I'm rooting for him in his Black Lives Matter car and everything else. It's just that I think he sucks driving, doesn't he? He's never won a race ever in the history of the world. Has he, Mafia? Or Carver, excuse me. Has he ever won?
I don't follow the NASCAR enough to. I'm sure he has to have won a race at some point. He has to have found his way into the winner's circle, right? I'm going to check that out for you. I'm going to check it out during the break.
Oh, look at London tonight, your boy Marty Truex. Pharrell Cash.
Hey, how about that? Plus 650 on FanDuel.
Oh, there you go. Plus what? On that FanDuel, plus 650. Shake it. Pharrell's Cash and NASCAR tickets. How do you like them apples, Carver High?
You were waiting for Marty to finally come through for you, and there he is. He does it tonight. So good for him. Martinsville, big win for Marty Truex Jr.
Do you think that – did you like my betting strategy there for the – like what if they had about six or seven races and I bet
the same guy every race till he wins? Yeah, that's a good strategy.
Well, I didn't – you know, I didn't lose that much money. I bet like, you know, light on every race, and then I finally hit at plus 650 just on a C note. I mean, that's a nice hit right there. Everybody's happy. So anyway, I'm now desperate in life. I'm betting on NASCAR races. All right, look, we got another hour to go. I'm Pharrell on the bench. I got a.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.